Welcome to Conscious Voices, a weekly program dedicated to bringing you alternative points of view to challenging popular assumptions in order to help you be better informed and civically engaged. I'm Evan Davis, your host for this edition. News from Ukraine just gets worse and worse as we hear more and more credible reports of awful atrocities being committed by the Russian troops, and they come from a broad range of independent sources. It can in no way be denied that war crimes are defining the Russian invasion. How can those tens of thousands of Russian troops who survive live with themselves after this is over? How can Ukrainians ever forgive Russia? How can the Russian people ever expect to have normal neighborly relations with not only Ukraine, but other surrounding countries after all of this? And now the U.S. is making things even worse by pushing NATO expansion to Sweden and Finland, which means that more military bases will be built and more nuclear missiles will be moving to the Russian border. Nuclear weapons, Russia has them too, of course, are an existential threat to all life on the planet. We possess them, operating under the assumption that each new administration will exercise the diplomacy and restraint of the previous ones, at least since the U.S. bombing of civilian populations in Japan. But as current developments and past history show, things can get out of hand politically in the course of just a single decade or generation, despite all the progress we may have made. The primary elections this week show competing political trends here, with progressive candidates advancing on the Democratic side and fascist candidates winning the majority of Republican support. On the domestic front, it would appear that the totalitarians are winning that tug-of-war as the Republican-dominated Supreme Court is about to throw out 50 years of legal precedent and to cancel women's equality vis-a-vis reproductive rights. Their ruling, if Roe v. Wade is overturned as expected, will effectively gut the 14th Amendment of the Constitution. And if abortion rights aren't safe in the U.S., how can the world be safe if the U.S. has nuclear weapons, especially if they fall into the hands of the administration like the one the Republicans will try to elect? Well, there is resistance, and though it may reflect a broad majority, as in the case of abortion rights, mobilizing that resistance will take a monumental effort. It is good, however, to see that movement growing, more diverse and inclusive, and more militant. In today's show, we'll hear some of the speeches from the pro-choice rally in the nation's capital over the weekend.
Somebody say, I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. Y'all, we are out here today clear-eyed. We are focused. And our opposition doesn't know the movement they have sparked, y'all. Because, bro, we're not settling for it as it is or as it was. We are fighting for abortion access as it should be and as it will be with the power of the people. Are you ready for that? Y'all, there's this quote by Lucille Clifton that I love. She says, come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Y'all, today is no exception. So here's our job. Today we need to show them that we're united. Are you united? Today we need to show them that we are defiant. Are you defiant? Today we need to show them that we're loud as hell. Can you show them that? Can you show them that? Can you show them that? Y'all, and then our job tomorrow and the next day after that is to take care of each other. Planned Parenthood is ready. We're going to fight state by state, band by band, alongside our partners, independent clinics, abortion funds to secure our right to control our bodies and make our own decisions, y'all. Planned Parenthood doctors and clinicians and staff, we're going to keep opening those health center doors all across the country and caring for as many people as we can, for as long as we can, in every way that we can. And y'all, these 17 million Planned Parenthood supporters are going to stay in the streets because we know this is a marathon, y'all. So my question is, are you ready to fight alongside us? Are you ready to fight alongside us? Come on, y'all. This is the start to a new phase of the fight. So let's get this rally going. We're going to start today with an acknowledgement of the land, an acknowledgement of the indigenous people's land that we are on. And the reality of the continued impacts colonization has had on all of our communities. I'm going to introduce to you Sarah Eaglehart, Women's March board member.
I'm Betty Washte. Wambli Shinawi Amachiapi. Chante Washte Nape Chizape. My Lakota name is Sarah Eagleheart, and I greet you today with a good heart. I have been a part of Women's March since the very beginning in 2017, marching for missing, murdered, and Indigenous women, which is why I'm wearing red today. I am Ogallala Lakota from the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in South Dakota. And I'm also co-CEO of Return to the Heart Foundation, supporting Indigenous women-led initiatives. We are making a stand today on the land of the Nakachunk and the Piscataway peoples. I thank all the ancestors and the Indigenous peoples, past and present, for allowing us to be on this land today. I honor with gratitude the land itself and the people who have been stewards for generations. I also give thanks to Tenkashala, the creator, for bringing me here today. This is the same Tenkashala who has guided, supported, and loved me through two abortions, as well as the birth of two sons. Abortion is sacred. Life is sacred. The right to choose is sacred. A woman's health and well-being is sacred. As you may know, BIPOC women will suffer the most due to lack of access and resources for safe abortions. I lift up my sisters at Indigenous Women Rising because they have been doing this generous work of funding and guiding women through their decisions to have an abortion. They did this work during COVID-19 when they knew women were in the most need. Just like me, they knew, our ancestors knew, what was best for their families. Just as their decisions were respected long ago, we are obligated by the Creator to continue to respect those decisions and support our relatives however we can. In many Indigenous traditions, a woman was guided through her decision by elders and midwives. Indigenous women had access to traditional medicines and knowledge for safe abortions. Women always held the ultimate authority to make that decision. While many of these teachings have been erased with colonialism, there are still these brave women, and many of the women who are here today, who are guiding women through the process of choosing what is best for them. Today, we stand and we say, we honor women. We respect their right to choose. We stand with you and we love you. Wopila, Madakuya Oyase.
Y'all, abortion is healthcare. Abortion is sacred. Thank you, Sarah. Now, y'all, I'm turning to my sister in the fight, Rachel Carmona, executive director of the Women's March, y'all. Rachel has helped to inspire, equip, and mobilize people like many of you here today to shape actions and policy that truly affect our communities. Y'all, quite frankly, she's a feminist powerhouse. All right, plain and simple. Give it up for Rachel Carmona.
Hello, everyone! There's a lot of you here. You can do better than that. Hello, everyone! My name is Rachel O'Leary Carmona, and I am grateful to be here on behalf of Women's March and the tens of millions of people who have marched with us, including y'all. And before I continue, you see a lot of green in places. I want to dedicate my speech to the Green Wave movement, which started in Argentina in 2015 in a fight against femicide and transformed into the fight for abortion rights in Latin America. This bandana that other people are wearing around here, were gifted to us by our allies, Dos Latinas Comunidad in Colombia. Shout out to our sisters in the global struggle. And I am honored today to be fighting, showing up, and marching with you on this nationwide day of action. And I'm gonna keep it a buck. I am also very angry. Earlier this month, really earlier last week, since all of these things are happening day by day, we all read the Supreme Court leaked document in horror. And if you didn't, here's what it said. It said that women have been right all along, and that the politicians we elected to represent us in 50 states across this country, though some people here think it should be 51, should have taken us seriously. Because for years, women in this country have been warning about the end of abortion. And just last October, we marched here in these very streets warning about this exact situation. And in response, what did they say? We're dramatic, hysterical, emotional, overreacting. But the day that we warned about is here. The end of Roe and Casey are in plain sight, and we will not go back. We won't go back. We won't go back. We won't go back. We won't go back. And how did we get here? How? We got here because five Supreme Court justices decided that they just don't give a shit about women. They don't care about precedent. They don't care about the Constitution. They don't care about rights. And they damn sure don't care about the institution that they claim to serve. And I'm gonna hit you with a quick 1, 2, 3, 4 right now. One of these justices is married to a far-right insurrectionist who tried to overturn the 2020 election and has not recused himself from ruling on cases related to her. Two of these justices have been credibly accused of sexual misconduct themselves and never should have been confirmed. Three of these justices were appointed by a president who was credibly accused himself of multiple incidences of sexual misconduct. And four of these justices were appointed by a president who lost the popular vote. Wah, wah, wah. And you know what? The math is mathing. And what it adds up to is an illegitimate Supreme Court. They are unelected, they are unaccountable, and they are unrepresentative. Because 80% of this country believes that the people who want access to abortion should be able to get it. And 1 in 4 women in America will have an abortion in her lifetime. And if the Supreme Court acts as it plans and takes a sledgehammer to the constitutional right for an abortion, it will be ignoring its own precedent and the majority of what this country wants. It'll be ignoring reality, and it will be ignoring history. And I'm lucky. Many of you all are probably lucky in this crowd too. We don't know in America where an abortion is illegal. But we do know stories from our elders, from our mothers, from our grandmothers and our aunts. We know the horrors of a time when women had to secretly pass around names and numbers of doctors. Doctors who were willing to risk their medical license and often their lives to provide abortion. And we know the horrors of a time when a doctor like that was unavailable, or too expensive, or too far away. And we also know about the back alleys, we know about the gas stations, and we know about what happens when things go wrong. And I am here to say, loudly and clearly, and with all of you, that we won't go back. That's right, we won't go back. It is not an exaggeration to say that this is the worst case scenario come to life. There will be deadly consequences for women. But it is also no exaggeration to say that women will fight back as we always have and meet this moment. We will be ungovernable until this government starts working for us. Ungovernable, 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 ungovernable. And that is why we are taking to the streets today in cities all across the country. It's why today isn't just one day of action. It is simply day one of an invigorated movement aligned behind one simple demand. And you all heard it. You know what it is. Keep your bans off our bodies.
keep your bans off our bodies. Keep your bans off our bodies. Today is day one of an uprising to protect abortion rights. It is day one of our feminist future, and it is day one of a summer of rage where we will be ungovernable, ungovernable. And we will not stop. We will not stop until the politicians on our side start acting like they're on our side. And we will not stop until the politicians who claim to fight for women actually fight for us. And until justice protects us from attacks on our bodies, until everyone who wants an abortion has the right to get one. So I will see you in the streets across America this summer continuing to fight. And then I will see you again in Houston in August, where 10,000 women and allies will gather for the 2022 Women's Convention, the larger gender justice convention in decades. That's right, you heard it here first. And if you remember, yes, big ups, because we need every single opportunity, every single one to push back. And if you remember only one thing that I've said, remember this. The fight for abortion is a fight for our rights. It's a fight for what's right. And it's a fight we will win. We will win. We will win. We will win. Thank you so much for having me. And until then, I'll see you in these streets.
Hey, hey. Give it up for Rachel Carmona, y'all. We will win. Yes. Well, I know I am excited and hope to see all of y'all in Houston with us as we keep this fight going. But wait a minute. Do I hear some go-go music playing? Do I hear some go-go? Because next up, we have DC.
Right here, we gonna be right here. We ain't going nowhere. Welcome to DC. DC, the home of Chuck Brown. Oh, you don't know the sound? Well, let me break it down. The D-O, the G-O, the M-A, and B-O. See, though, we've been pumping crank since an embryo. Really, though, it's the city where the people hold the power. And you can see nine dimes every half.
DC native and co-conductor of Harriet's Wildest Dreams, Nene Taylor. Yes, y'all, she's been out here in these DC streets making dreams literally come true. Not only that, she's a leader in the DMV Black Mama Bailout Movement, y'all. We're excited to have her and also our good councilwoman here giving us a message from the streets of DC.
What's up? Hey, DC. You know, we always got to hold our home city down. Well, I can tell the rest of y'all, welcome to D.C. Good afternoon. I would like to welcome you to D.C. My name is Nene Taylor, as she said. I'm a D.C. native, born and raised in the most marginalized part of Washington, D.C. I also want to acknowledge the part of D.C. where I was raised, we don't even have a hospital for a black woman to have a baby. Sit with that. The part of D.C. where I was raised, we don't even have a maternity ward for a black woman to have a baby. As I want to acknowledge that black women in the part of the city was that I was raised, black women to have a maternity ward, black women deliver the baby, east of the river is a reproductive health care desert. East of the river is a reproductive health care desert. I am a co-conductor of Harriet's Wildest Dreams. We are a black-led abolitionist community defense hub, centering black lives at risk for state-sanctioned violence in the greater Washington area. Our work includes legal empowerment, political and civic education, mass protesting, organizing campaigns, and community care for the systems that's building alternatives to dismantle oppressed systems. I stand here before you today to fight for black women legal right. I stand here today for you to educate you on what's going on with the black woman right now with the Roe wave. The criminalization of abortions, we're going to stand these streets until we defeat this leap. I need you to commit to stay in these streets until we win the criminalization of abortions that was leaked. Because what y'all don't realize, abortions are still legal right now. Abortions are still legal. So if you have an abortion that you got planned, go get that abortion. If you have, if you can't afford the abortion, contact your abortion fund. And if you got generation wealth, this generation wealth out here, donate to the abortion funds. That's right. Denying access to safe legal abortion, a gender-affirming health service, is a continuation of that troubling history. Abortion care is health care, and it's absolutely essential to the thriving future of Black people. We will not give up our fight for the future. Our freedom comes from movement, not courts. Black people's freedom comes from movement, not courts. I wasn't sure when Congress made the U.S. Supreme Court the coochie police. So if the U.S. Supreme Court decide they want to be the coochie police, I'm here to defund the coochie police. And if they decide to police a Black woman coochie, I'm a core lead for the DMV Free Black Mamas bailout. Your laws will try to enslave Black women, but our love and protection for them will bail them out of your jail. Our body, our choice. We have the human right to maintain personal body autonomy. In an effort to limit access to abortions, disproportionately harm Black women, girls, transgenders, and gender non-conforming people. I want to be very clear, and I have no doubt, full access to abortion care is a necessary component of freedom for all Black people. The full weight of criminal legal systems is being weighed, leveraged already against the Black woman. This ain't new for the Black people, the Black woman, the Black girl. This machine already was in, was already enrolling. Black feminists that do reproductive work been fighting for the Black woman, because we already was criminalized trying to have an abortion, and it's our body, our choice. Black people are targets. We can't look away at the most violent machine. As Hers Wilder Dreams rise up in solidarity with the movement for Black lives and all Black people, I leave you with a call. Demand us to have full access to comprehensive sexual and reproductive health care and eliminate the discrimination barriers to health care for all people. Abortions, no exceptions. I also challenge you as a D.C. native, and D.C. being a political playground for the different places, and the different campaigns, I challenge you to leave D.C. better than the way you found it. You can support and follow different organizations locally that's doing this work. You can follow Harriet's Dreams at Twitter and Instagram. Now I need y'all to just take out y'all phones, because we're doing Roe Wade work too. So take out your phones right now, because I need you to text SCOTUS, SCOTUS, to 833-454-1214. Text SCOTUS, SCOTUS, to 833-454-1214. And that's how you're going to stay up with the local org. And once again, abortion, no exceptions. Abortion, no exceptions. Abortion, no exceptions. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to D.C. My name is Janice Lewis George. I am a D.C. council member for Ward 4 in the District of Columbia. And I'm a D.C. native. And I am proud and honored today to represent my hometown today at the band's Off Our Bodies March. DC has a long history of being a pro-choice city. We believe in a woman's right to choose. We believe in safe, legal abortions. We believe in women's rights, civil rights, trans rights. We believe abortion is health care. Unfortunately, we watched the Senate vote down codifying Roe versus Wade. And as DC residents, we were angry, we were pissed, but more importantly, we were so upset because we don't have a senator in the Senate. As DC residents, we have no voice in the Senate that voted to confirm the five extremist Supreme Court justices who plan to overturn Roe. And we have no representation in the Congress that can vote to strip away our reproductive rights here in the district. All my life, I have seen Republicans in Congress step into our affairs and impose their will on DC residents. They have already banned us from using our own funds on abortion care, blocking low-income women from receiving the care they need. So we know that if that Roe is overturned, they will come for us by moving to ban abortion in the District of Columbia. That's why I'm here today to remind you that DC statehood is a reproductive justice issue. And here in the District of Columbia, we are here and ready to stand up and fight alongside you to defend DC, to protect our reproductive rights, and to make sure that abortion is free, safe, and legal for every person in this country. Overturning Roe will hurt Black, Brown, Indigenous communities, disabled communities. Abortion costs money, and it's unaffordable for so many who cannot travel hundreds or thousands of miles away for abortion care, especially in a country without paid family leave, without affordable child care, without universal health care, without a $15 minimum wage. How dare you come for the autonomy of our bodies, but then don't give us what we need in this community? When babies are born, you say to us, we have a shortage right now in our country. Women are struggling to make sure that they can feed their children right now. But corporate greed is allowing a shortage of baby formula right now in this country. They say they care about our bodies. They say they care about our children. They care about us. But your policies say the opposite. So we in the District of Columbia, we stand arm in arm and we are ready to fight. And let me say this, we need you to fight in more ways than one. Organizing on the ground, supporting all of your local organizations, donating the funds, volunteering your time, making sure you show up at our Planned Parenthood clinics and making sure you're there to stand and walk people into the clinic. And let us be clear, right now they are just coming, they're coming for our liberty, our autonomy, and they will not stop there. This fight is a fight where we all need to be in solidarity, because they will come for equality of marriage. They will come for gay rights. They will come for trans rights. This fight is about all of us. Working class people and families will die if this is allowed to happen. They will suffer. History tells us that. And it is a shame that my generation is having to stand to fight for this when our grandparents, our mothers, our great-grandmothers stood and fought. We will not go backwards. They taught us how to fight. And we know that united together, we can fight. But we also need to make sure that we have a supermajority in Congress and in the Senate. It is a shame that senators, Republican senators, and Joe Manchin, name him, to do with our bodies. But it's also a shame that there is no black woman in the Senate right now. So we need black women, we need everyone to stand up, and we need to not just do Democrats, we need to do progressive Democrats in every seat of Congress and in this country. We need you to vote because reproductive justice rights are on the ballot in 2022. Make no qualms about it. We need you to vote. We need you to run. We need you to organize. We need you to donate. They are counting on our voter apathy. They are counting on us to be such in despair with no hope that we will not be able to fight back. But we have a light to fight on. And note this. We have to make systemic changes too. We have to talk about term limits in the Supreme Court. We have to talk about expanding our courts. We have to end the Jim Crow filibuster. And we have to do these things right now. So here in DC, as we fight for statehood as a reproductive justice right issue, as a civil rights issue, we ask that you stand for us and with us. Don't vote for anybody who is not going to be a supporter of DC statehood, because it is essential to a seat receiving and making sure we have reproductive justice rights in this country. And so, in DC, we are fighters, Nene will tell you. We are fighters because we've been fighting for autonomy all these years, being taxed, federally taxed without representation. Taxation without representation holds us down and holds us back. And a Republican Congress will destroy us and destroy our ability to have reproductive justice rights here in the district. So, what I need you to do, when I say to you, when our reproductive justice rights are under attack, what do? I want you to say, stand up, fight back. But I want you to say it so that Joe Manchin can hear you in West Virginia. I want you to say it so that every Republican senator that voted against our human rights will hear you. I want you to say it so that everybody who will be primaried, who voted against our reproductive justice rights, will hear you. When our reproductive justice rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When our reproductive justice rights are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
When our reproductive justice rights are under attack, what do?
Stand up, fight back.
We stand up, we fight back. Bands off our bodies, DC statehood. We got this, we can do this, we will do this. Thank you.
Woo, woo, woo. Yeah, let's give it up for Nene Taylor and Councilwoman Janice Lewis, Georgia. Yes, stand up, fight back, y'all. Look, I am so honored to welcome to the stage next one of our true champions. She's the co-chair of the House Pro-Choice Caucus. She's a longtime champion for all things reproductive health, rights, and justice. Please welcome Representative Barbara Lee of California.
Thank you, Kelly, for that very spirited and gracious introduction, and good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here, for your energy, for your righteous indignation, for your work, and for lifting your voice for our personal liberties and reproductive freedom. And let me just take a moment to thank all of you, our advocates, organizers, providers, and volunteers who made today possible and for fighting each and every day for reproductive freedom. Thank you. Give all of our organizers a round of applause because they made this happen. They're working each and every day on the ground to help move us forward. Now, we all know that this is a crisis moment. The radical Supreme Court justices and right-wing extremists are making it clear that they won't stop until a nationwide ban is enacted. But we are here to say loudly and clearly, keep these bans off our body. Keep them off. Our right to make our own decisions about our bodies is in danger of being taken away. So say it again, keep these bans off our bodies. Like many of you, I'm scared. Yes, I'm upset. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, we fought these battles 50 years ago. 50 years ago. But let me tell you, we're moving forward because we understand this radical right, and we must fight them again. But fight we will. Right? Fight we will. Because of you, the House of Representatives passed our woman warrior, Congresswoman Judy Chu's bill to enshrine abortion into federal law. Because of you. And yes, unfortunately, the radical Senate Republicans plus one, who say they care about personal liberties, seem to not care at all about taking away our personal liberties, our personal decisions over our bodies. And they want to take away, for the first time, a constitutional right. First time. But as you've heard over and over again, they won't stop here. If they come for us today, they're coming for you tomorrow. So don't think these bans aren't an attempt to further erode our personal liberties and our democracy. So fight we must to keep these bans off our bodies. Fight we must. Now you all know I am one of the 1 in 4 women who have had an abortion. This is very also personal for me, as I know it's personal for many of you. But it was my choice. It was my body. It was my body. It's my choice. That's what it was. That's what it was. I know firsthand what being denied access to legal abortion looks like. When I was a teenager, I got an abortion. Fortunately, my loving late mother was there to support me, and her friend, my mother, I was 15, almost 16. Her friend in El Paso, Texas, recommended a daughter in Juarez, Mexico, where I could get an abortion, where it was illegal also. I was so afraid. I flew from California to El Paso, my first time on an airplane. I did not know what to expect, other than this decision could put my life in jeopardy. That's all I knew. So I'm here to tell you, I have experienced the fear, the stigma, and despair of being denied the care that you need. I know what it's like to worry about your medical decision becoming criminalized. I know that fear. I know what it's like to see your future hang on the decisions of politicians and judges instead of doctors and whom you trust. I know that. Shame on them. 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 Yes, I have seen the dim light down a dark alley. I survived, but many women, especially Black, Latina, Indigenous, and other women of color, did not. Now, let me tell you briefly a quick story about my mentor, the first African-American woman elected to Congress, the first African-American and woman to seriously mount a candidacy for president of these United States in 1972. Y'all know who I'm talking about? Shirley Chisholm from Brooklyn, New York. You know it? Shirley Chisholm for president. Well, Shirley Chisholm, a lot of people know this. She was the first honorary co-president of the National Abortion Rights Action League, NARAL, in 1969. That was Shirley Chisholm. She was one of the 16 black women who courageously led a movement for reproductive freedom and published We Remember, African American Women for Reproductive Freedom in 1989. She co-founded African American Women for Reproductive Freedom in 1990. And let me tell you, she said, and I hope you get her book, Unbossed and Unbossed in 1970. She said, access to legal abortion was an issue of economic and racial justice. That was in 1970. And in 1977 in Houston at the National Women's Conference, Shirley Chisholm, Barbara Jordan, Coretta Scott King, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and Maya Angelou, they and many others, but they were there and spoke about reproductive justice and gender equality. That was in 1977. So today, this is 2022. Once again, we are fighting this battle, once again. But you know what? Because of you, because of everyone around our country, we won't let them turn the clock back to those dark days, will we? No, we won't let them do that. We are galvanized, we're organized, we're fighting with you to fight against these bans. And yes, we are here today to tell these radical extremists that if you criminalize people for having an abortion, if you make abortion illegal, if you take away our rights to make our personal decisions about our bodies, we will see you at the ballot box in November. When we fight, we win. 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 Thank you again. Let's get to work and let's fight and beat these people in November.
Yes, thank you so much. All right, when we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
Thank you so much, Representative Lee. Thank you so much. We're going to keep up this fight today, tomorrow, and the next day to ensure they keep their bans off of our bodies, y'all. So good people, in the labor organizing movement, they got a phrase that they say. They say, one struggle, one fight. And these next leaders, these next women leaders are the epitome of that. I'm proud to introduce to you Mary Kay Henry. She's the first woman to lead FEIU, y'all, the nation's largest healthcare union. And she's gonna be joined up here by April Verrett, president of California-based FEIU Local 2015, the nation's largest union of care workers. Introduce them to the stage, y'all. Give them a good welcome.
Thank you so much, Kelly. April, isn't this a beautiful sight?
Wow, wow, wow.
And I'm just going to echo what our sister, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, just said. And I want you to repeat it after me. When we fight... When we fight,
we win.
When we fight,
we win.
When we rally,
we win.
When we march,
we win.
When we show up and vote,
we win.
Thank you so much. We are proud to be speaking to you today on behalf of the 2 million service and care workers who have been on the front lines of a global pandemic, a racial reckoning, a climate crisis, and now a crisis about our bodies. Are we united here to keep these bans off our bodies?
Yes!
And it's so inspiring and gives me so much hope that you showed up today to stand up and fight back. And April and I want you to know that SEIU members, worker leaders, the Fight for 15 and a union, and working people everywhere are joining you and rising up to fight back. We all have a stake in this fight. especially the women who have served on the front lines of this pandemic, providing essential services and care that our families and communities rely on. Working class women, Black, Latina, Asian Pacific Islander, Indigenous, and white are already struggling to make ends meet. April and I know that many of these women are structured into jobs that are poverty wage jobs because of corporate power and systemic racism. And these same working class women of every race cannot afford a plane, a train, or a bus ticket to another state just to get the health care they deserve. And without the ability to determine their own reproductive destinies and family size, they cannot hope to build a better future. Working people everywhere understand that our fundamental rights are intertwined. Women's rights, workers' rights, voting rights, LGBTQ rights, immigrant rights, climate justice. When you pull one thread of this fabric of our democracy unravels. We have already seen this extremist wing of the Supreme Court attack workers' rights to join together in unions, rolling back 40 years of precedent. They sold out our rights as workers to extremists and now are selling out our rights to control our own body. Isn't that right, April?
That's right, Mary Kay. And I must say, as a Black woman, Barbara Lee speaks for me, as we say back home in California. And I am proud to stand on the shoulders of Barbara Lee and Shirley Chisholm and Maya Angelou and all of those great women who have tread the path so that I can stand here today. But we are not just gonna stand. We are gonna mobilize. We're gonna lift our voices. Now is the time for action. We will fight back. As the largest healthcare union in this country, SEIU will do everything in our power to keep abortion safe and legal. That's right, safe and legal. Because the choice of whether or not to have an abortion is the choice of the pregnant person and no one else. The pregnant person, her physician, and no one else. Full stop. We will never equivocate on that point. It's not a politician's choice. It's not a pastor's choice. It is the woman's choice. It is absolutely un-American to deny women this fundamental constitutional right. All of us, each and every one of us, has a horse in this race. We all have something at stake in this fight. And let's be clear, there has never, ever been equitable access to reproductive care in this country. And so many working women still face employment discrimination. We know it, just because they are pregnant and they lack paid sick leave and family medical leave. We are organizing, we are mobilizing right now to hold elected officials accountable who will stand up for working women at every level of government. And just like we did for the incredible, phenomenal Ketanji Brown Jackson, right, we will, just like we stood up for KBJ, we are gonna stand up and back judicial nominees who will defend abortion rights in this country. And we aren't gonna do it alone. We have an amazing, beautiful, diverse coalition. Look around you, it's shown up here today. We're gonna work with our partners across reproductive rights, across labor, to ensure that the voices of Black, Latina, API, Indigenous, and immigrant women who will be most impacted in a post-Roe world, they must be heard, they must be seen. That's right. And it's time to take action. don't just show up and raise your sign today. Leave here with your mind determined to do action. That's right. If you don't do anything else when you leave this rally today, I need you to call or text 10 friends. You got 10 friends and you don't know whether or not they're going to go out and vote. I got more than 10, right? I got cousins and play cousins and all of them, right? We know who they are. Text them. They cannot sit on the fence. It's too damn important. And don't just text them tomorrow. You keep texting them every single day until they cast their vote. Because it is too much at stake. Our fundamental rights are at stake. We need to expand reproductive rights in every state in this country. We need to defend workers' rights and voting rights and LGBTQ plus rights and immigrant rights. It is all of our fights. We must stand together in solidarity to build our power and use our power to transform our country into one where we can all be proud and live in freedom. We will not go backward. We will not go backwards because, as we know, when we fight, we win. Thank you.
When we fight together, when we fight together, let's go do it.
Yes, come on, give it up for our labor leaders, y'all. Yes. Now we're going to shift to hearing from our faith leaders because we know that the anti-choice movement wants to claim a monopoly on faith, but it's not true. It's not true. I'm a person of faith, and let me tell you, I'm not out here in spite of my faith. I'm here because of my faith. So good people, today we are joined by Sheila Katz, the CEO of the National Council of Jewish Women. We got Jamie Manson, president of Catholics for Choice. We got a video message from Rafa Kidvai, the Repro Legal Defense Fund director at If, When, How. And we also got y'all Ajua Ray, the national liaison for women's health for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm so proud to be here with all of you representing 200,000 National Council of Jewish Women Advocates across the country. Spoiler alert, Jews have abortions. Christians have abortions. Muslims have abortions. People of faith and people of no faith have abortions. Right now, people across our country who are already marginalized face the inhumane reality that they could be forced into pregnancy, a life-changing and potentially life-threatening condition. Just one forced pregnancy is one too many. And in this moment, as many as 36 million people could face this future. For too long, this country has allowed a small but loud group from the religious right to dominate the narrative around abortion and religion, claiming that abortion access is a violation of religious freedom. So we ask them, whose religious freedom are you trying to protect? Not mine. Judaism not only permits abortion, but requires it when the life of the pregnant person is at risk. Religious freedom is meant to be a shield to protect people of minority faith communities, not as a sword to discriminate against us. And the only way we can truly have religious freedom in this country is if every person can make their own decisions for their body, their lives, and their future. As a Jewish woman, I would never force my religious traditions, beliefs, or values onto another person. But that is exactly what is happening in our Supreme Court and states across our country. Let me be clear. I support the right to an abortion because of my Jewish faith, not in spite of it. The Supreme Court is supposed to uphold our constitutional rights, not tear them down. And we are here together to raise our voices and say, not in our name. Remember that we are the majority and we will bend the arc of the moral universe toward justice. Amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jamie Manson, and I am a proud, queer, lesbian, Catholic woman who supports abortion access. As president of Catholics for Choice, I represent the 68% of Catholics who do not want to see Roe overturned. Like Sheila, I support abortion access because of my Catholic faith, not in spite of it. Abortion bans create profound suffering among those who are already oppressed by sinful structures of racism, gender inequality, economic insecurity, and immigration restrictions. Catholics are taught a theology of social justice, and abortion bans are the opposite of justice. What we are seeing right now at the Supreme Court is the result of religious overreach led by Catholic bishops, allegedly celibate men who will never, ever be pregnant, and yet have spent over 50 years and tens of millions of dollars trying to control women's bodies and queer bodies, capture the federal judiciary, and take choice out of our rightful hands. The only way to preserve our rights against right-wing religious forces, the only way to get true separation of church and state, is to enshrine our rights in the Constitution through the Equal Rights Amendment, which is ratified and just needs to be certified. The Catholic bishops know the ERA's power to solidify abortion rights, and they are organizing against it right now. So I call on President Biden, our pro-choice Catholic president, our pro-ERA Catholic president, to certify and publish the Equal Rights Amendment today. In the gospel, Jesus tells us the truth shall set us free. Here is the truth. One in four abortion patients in this country is Catholic. Abortion is part of the life of the church. If you are a person of faith, I call on you to get loud and proud about your support for abortion access. Do not cede your faith to the right wing and their unholy crusade against dignity and freedom. We have the moral high ground here, and we will not stop fighting. Thank you.
That was some of the speeches from the pro-choice rally in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. There was a rally here in Columbus, too, that may have attracted as many as 2,000 people, despite being vastly underpublicized. There were speeches there, too, though their amplification system was woefully inadequate. And that's where we come in. Community radio stations like this one and programs like Conscious Voices are all about elevating the voices of the outspoken in pursuit of equality, justice, and cultural awareness. That's been the mission of community radio since its inception, with the first Pacifica radio station in 1949, and we aspire to continue it here, which is why I know we can count on you to support this station and to return here next week at this time for another edition on WCRS 92.7 and 98.3 FM and WGRNLP 94.1 FM in Columbus, Ohio. I'm Evan Davis, and I'll see you then. The program you are listening to is broadcast both on community radio station WCRS via translator W245AY at 98.3 FM and on WGRN 94.1 FM. WCRSFM.org and WGRN.org. If you like what you're hearing or want to get involved, please visit those websites and give what you can. Both stations are non-commercial and volunteer-run. Both stations depend on listener support. Again, the websites are WCRSFM.org for WCRS and WGRN.org for WGRN.